We are glad that God has given us the Chinese church the mandate to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But how do we do it? You've got to first start with discipleship. And this is why CoE Canada has been advocating discipleship-driven cross-cultural mission. Today, I want to share with you about discipleship and at the same time, of course, navigating uncharted water in missions. I would like to invite our friend at the back to play this 2 minutes video for you. Is Reverend Edmund Chan from Singapore. He was in Toronto with Pastor Anne, his wife, to deliver the first IDMC, Intentional Disciple Making Churches Conference. The message last year is a certain kind. Many people will not understand easily about what do you mean by a certain kind. It's a certain kind of disciples that is preferred by our Lord Jesus Christ that can take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And today, this year, 2019, at the end of September, we're going to have the second IDMC conference. And the theme is multiplying authentic disciples. I think you saw from the video that today we got to have a good discipleship training, like making disciples. The way to do it is not by programs. Well, program, yes, to a certain extent, but to make it work, we got to deliver a process, and let's make it work. Join the IDMC for this September. You can go up to coe.ca, look up the video and also the registration. Today, I want to share with you about navigating uncharted water, and this is also key to delivering the Great Commission today. Let us have a word of prayer together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we commit this morning into your hand. Pray that your Spirit will guide our understanding into your word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Navigating uncharted water. About 8-9 years ago, I visited Madagascar. You know where it is? East Africa, right? Madagascar. Perhaps you saw that that cartoon many years ago. But in Madagascar, when I was there, some Christians asked me to pray for the country, to pray for Madagascar based on the three colors of the national flag. It's very simple. It's three colors there, the white, the red, and the green. The white represent the pure of heart. Yes, African people, their hearts are so pure, but there are lots of corruption in the country. And then for the red, the soil itself in Madagascar is actually red. So there will be a lot of growth for the future. But at the same time, green represents the hope, which is not easily get, because the country has to break through a lot of political uncertainties and also economic chaos, the poverties, before they can move forward. I did the prayer. I asked for God's blessing with the people in living in Madagascar. And of course, the churches over there, they're doing a very difficult task. It's not easy. Breakthrough in life is not easy, for sure. We have seen bottlenecks of all kinds in your personal life, in the church, personally speaking or corporately speaking. We are facing bottlenecks every now and then. How do we break through? Peter, based on this passage we just read, also encountered a very important breakthrough in his life. If you read the passage, it's easily, this is a familiar passage. But let me tell you, this is passage so important to the Gentiles, not just to Cornelius, but to the Gentiles like us, the Chinese. Without this passage, probably the gospel will not be coming to the Chinese people. But thank God for this great provision. Breakthrough in missions require navigating in uncharted water. Peter actually experienced two breakthroughs in his life. Remember the very first one? The very first one in Acts chapter 2? But first of all, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is asking this disciple, you know, stay and wait till the Holy Spirit came, and then you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and then Samaritans, and then all the way to the ends of the earth. This is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And then right in chapter 2 of the Acts, wow, there's tongues, and speaking of tongues, of fire, you know, coming down. People, Peter is just so empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he preached his first sermon. And then 3,000 people came to the Lord. This is the very first breakthrough in Peter's life in terms of mission, delivering the message of God. Then, in chapter 8 in the books of Acts, remember, Jesus also encountered, you know, told everybody, you got to go to the Samaritans. Peter went there. Peter actually observed the Samaritans. They are not exactly the Jewish people, right? But then, they are on the sideline. But at the same time, God loves them. And then the revival of the Samaritans, Peter witnessed to that too. And then Acts chapter 1 verse 8 also talk about ends of the earth, people in all nations. And then you come to Acts chapter 10. This is the passage that we are focusing this morning, that Peter was invited, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit to visit Cornelius. But at the same time, this breakthrough in Peter's life really is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The whole thing is set up by the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean. God actually wants us to be a part of it. The action, the missions. If you go to chapter 10, verse 1, and so, this story, you remember. At Caesarea, there's a man named Cornelius, a centurion, who was known as the Italian regiment. Like, he's a cohort there, you know, he's a captain, a centurion. He and all his fellow were devout and God-fearing. Wow, what a good man. You find a good person on earth. That is Cornelius. In this case here, he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Wow, I don't think, you know, Christians today have done enough like Cornelius. But there's one thing God knows, everybody knows, Cornelius still did not know who Jesus Christ is. That's that great missing gap. And that's why God is asking, orchestrating Peter to fill up that gap, to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. While Roman is part of the Gentile world, Chinese, same thing. Gentiles, the Greek word is ethnos, meaning many nations, right? The definition is they live in a different manners, you know, different customs apart from the Jews. And that's why in this case here, God is asking Peter to go there. But then, because both of them do not understand, they do not know each other. So the Holy Spirit will work on Cornelius first. At that time, Cornelius had a vision, and he distinctly saw an angel of God came to him. Cornelius, go and look for Peter, you know, go to Joppa, find a person, bring him to you. So God has a message will be delivered by Peter to you. Well, Cornelius, he agreed to that notion, no problem. He sent his soldier, one of his soldiers, and sent two of his servants together. And remember, in the Bible, it's saying that the person is sending are also devout soldiers. That means Cornelius, in his job, his own career, has a personal influence to his followers too. And this is significant for us today that we should follow such an example. And not just that, we're looking at the passage here. God is actually, the Holy Spirit is orchestrating the whole thing. But then people would just ask one question. Well, a good man like Cornelius, why does he need Jesus? He's already good enough compared to many people. Well, for Chinese, remember one very important person in the history of the Chinese people? Confucius. You know who he is? Hongzhi, right? Confucius. Wow, he's a great man. A man with great moral standard. But even Cornelius or Confucius, they both need Jesus Christ before they can get to heaven. Simple as that. Personal knowledge will not get you anywhere. Personal good deeds will not buy you any seat in heaven. And this is true. For this purpose, Koyi Canada, or Koyi across the nations, in this whole wide world, you know, there are at least 6,000-7,000 unreached people group. They're all Gentiles. Unreached people group, most of them in India, and some of them in China too, but many just right within the 10-40 windows. And for these reasons, we are to take the gospel to them. Sometimes we do not know how, but the Holy Spirit will find a way for us to do that. And eventually, if you are under God's guidance, God will show you the way to be there. Koyi Canada, actually, when we talk about breakthrough in missions, breakthrough in our life, there are three things that we should do. First of all, is to cultivate. Secondly, is to innovate. Thirdly, we got to navigate. To cultivate, you can look at this passage here right in front of you. Cornelius is being cultivated by God, by the Holy Spirit, to get closer to God. Sometimes by personal works, you can go to a certain extent, but you cannot get past that chasm, that big gap. You need the Holy Spirit. And this is why someone got to tell, take the message to Cornelius. He need to be cultivated like many others. And when we talk about cultivation, we talk about discipleship in the church. And the video I just showed you earlier, we're talking about intentional disciple making for us to fulfill the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. We got to make more disciples to do the job. But sadly speaking, our churches are not really making disciples. Yes, there are many Christians in the church, but you can easily tell or discern whether they are disciples or not. By their behavior, by their act towards God, by the faith, by the behavior, you know, all that you given into account. I don't think every Christian in our church can be properly labeled as disciples. And how do we do that? How do we improve that situation? Often we are saying 20% of the church people are serving 80% of the others, you know. Can we bring that 20-80 ratio up a little bit? Let's say 40-60 or 50-50? And that's my hope. If our church wants to do better, we got to cultivate. We got to initiate some sort of disciple-making program in our church. But not just by offering a Sunday school class, it's more than that. You need to initiate a process. And that's what we are talking about, to cultivate. You initiate a disciple-making process. May God help us to find a way to do that. Not just cultivate, we got to innovate. Peter, at the same time, about Lund. The following day, they were on the journey, you know, approaching the city, those three men sent by Cornelius. Peter went up to the roof and prayed, that's verse 9, and then he became hungry and wanted something to eat. Well, hungry, you want to eat something, well, it's natural. But the meal was not ready yet. Then he fell into a trance. A trance may be described as an ecstasy. You know, you're somewhere there, but you're not really there. Because you're under some sort of a visions that God is delivering a message to you. You're at a spiritual high point. So when you pray, God delivers something to us, maybe. But in this special case here, what Peter saw, heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by all its four corners, and in there contains all kinds of four-footed animals and birds, you know, reptiles and so on, those unclean animals. Then something, a voice, told Peter, you know, get up, Peter, kill and eat. You're hungry, right? Get up, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, surely, Lord. You know, this sentence itself is contradictory. If you say somebody, this is your Lord, you dare not to say no. It's contradictory. If you're saying Jesus is your Lord God, how will you say no to Jesus? No way. But Peter, out of his own Old Testament ethnocentric background, and he claimed, I'm obeying everything from the Old Testament. This is unclean anymore. I'm not going to eat it. So it seems that he's using the Old Testament to fight against God's new idea. But then three times it happened. Because God said, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. It is important for us to discern the direction of God. The way to break through is to understand what God's purpose in our life. And many of us, you know, we are confused. We are lost. And this world is so amazing. It's like a jungle. We're lost in there. But then, innovatively, God has led Peter to understand more. Three times is significant in Peter's life. Remember, there's some three times happening before. Three times Peter denied our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know him. Three times. But then three times our Lord God, Peter, feed my lamb. Those three times are so significant. And in this case here, when the Holy Spirit is trying to teach Peter something new, first of all, he used his own background too. Three times, the sheets of reptiles, birds, four-foot animal came down and up, down and up again. Three times. You know what would Peter think? For Chinese, there got to be some pig in there, right? You don't remember pigs, siuji? We like it so much. It got to be there, yes, because pig is accordingly unclean animals in the Old Testament standard. But then God is saying, this is good for you. But then in this old ethnocentric background, you know the Jewish, how did they, particularly the Pharisees, right? Those people, when they walk around, they wrap their clothing, their rope, they wrap around it, make sure the end of the rope will not touch any of those Gentiles people. They want to keep them away from them as far away as possible. Touching them is like touching dead body. No good for them. And also at the same time, you know, one rabbi, this I heard some expositors talk about, you know, the rabbis, you know how they interpret why God created Gentiles if they are not acceptable. You know how the rabbis interpret this line? He's saying that God create those Gentiles just to keep the fire of the hell going. Keep the fire in the hell going. Because you got the four Gentiles people in there to keep the fire going, right? And this is the rabbi's Jewish interpretation. Oh my God, you can say that. No, this is not what God wants. So innovatively, God has asked Peter to reinterpret the whole thing. Now verse 17, Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision. The man sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house, the tanner, right? Simon's house was, and stopped at the gate and knock. Anybody here call Peter? Right timing, because it's all orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Human being cannot do that. You know, whatever our scheduling, our timing, our project management, you're going to miss something out. But it is by the Holy Spirit, everything worked out to the exact time schedule. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, he was wondering and now he's thinking, and the Spirit at the same time said to him, remember, the Spirit guided. Spirit said to him, verse 19, Peter, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. I have sent them. God has sent these three men to look for you. So Peter, now he knows, of course. You got to break through his ethnocentric Jewish status of understanding the Gentiles, because they were never thinking, oh, we belong to God, we are the chosen people, and how come the Gentiles can have that share too? But then, of course, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. This is the way of the gospel. And we thank God. Chinese, us, with a Chinese background, right, can also have a taste of the gospel because of the love of God, Jesus Christ. We thank God for all this. Ministry got to innovate in order we can move forward. So think about how you can break through in your personal realm, and for the church as well. How do we innovate better so the ministry and the missions of God can move forward? I just came back from Seoul, Korea. Actually, 2 days ago, Friday night, I arrived. This is Sunday. You know, I'm still having that kind of jet lag thing. But thank God for that. Why? The reason why I was in Seoul, Korea, is because I have meetings with the Global Mission Society of one of the biggest Korean Presbyterian mission agency. They send out 2,800 Korean missionaries to all over the world. This is the biggest in Korea. And I visited them because God seemingly, actually, closing doors for the Korean missionary to serve in China. Of course, politically speaking, their visas are not renewed. So many of those Korean missionaries who has learned a lot of good Mandarin, serving the churches in China, taking gospel to them for the past 20 years or so, but now denied their visa application. So all of them have to return back to Seoul, to Korea. I learned about that situation. I went to the Korean pastors, missionaries, the GMS, Global Mission Society. I urged them, we have so many unreached people group in China, particularly in Canada, particularly the Chinese. We have at least 200,000 visa students now studying in the universities and high schools in Canada. Send your Korean missionary who has professed, who have learned a lot about Mandarin, and they can take the gospel, preach the gospel to them. I mean, right in Canada. So I discussed with them, and they eagerly say yes, and we are testing out. We sign an MOU. Innovatively, the Chinese and the Korean are working together in terms of global missions. Think about that. Thank God for their initiatives. Two Korean pastor couples, missionaries, they're coming over in August, one in Toronto, one in Calgary. And I pray that this will continue. We got to innovatively do missions now for God. May God help us. First, you got to cultivate. Second, you got to innovate. Thirdly, you have to navigate. Navigate was never easy. It's uncharted water. No prior experience. Meaning that you may easily fall into traps or mistakes that people can label you and then kill the whole project. You've seen many of these before. Isn't you? And we all have that experience before. And may God help us. In order to navigate, Peter, first of all, he got the experience it first. So he went back to Cornelius' place with the three servants, those two servants and one soldier sent by him. But at the same time, he bring, how many? Six people. He brought six people along. Those are the Jews. I mean, those early Christians, right? With a Jewish background. All went to Cornelius' place and start the whole process. The encounter came in verse 34. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accept from every nation the one who fears him. That would be Cornelius. That would be you and I. God accepts us. So verse 34, it just spells out Peter's experience. And this experience will continue on to grow. Then he went back to the church, to the early church, to convince all of the leaders in the church. And that's why in the chapter 11, Luke actually repeats the same story. There are many Bible scholars trying to expound on this passage. You have chapter 10, you have the first part of chapter 11, Why would you do that? You know, because it's so significant in terms of missions and endeavor. First of all, Peter got to deal with those people internally. That's why the whole chapter 11, the first 18 verses, they're talking about some kind of a debate. But there are also six men who went with Peter to be a good witness for all this. And there's no further objection in verse 18 of chapter 11. They had no further objection than praise God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Wow. This is the concluding matter. And now what left behind is the action. After you dealt with them internally, externally, they're sending Paul, Barnabas, and then the missionary journeys all over. And then the rest is history. Thank God we are part of God's history today. You got to cultivate, you got to innovate, and then you got to navigate. It was never easy. Back some 200 years ago, when Robert Morrison left London, embarked on this journey in the sea, a couple of months, you know, arrived in China, and people ask him, Mr. Morrison, are you trying to make a difference in China by yourself? Of course, Robert Morrison said, no, sir, I'm not. But I expect God will do that. This is how the church in China started. Not just the church, a lot of education reformations, and also a lot of schools and then hospitals together with churches and the gospel propel into China. And thank God, China today has one of the biggest Christians living in there in terms of populations. May God help us know that God has a plan in our life. Today, let us make a difference. First of all, we cultivate, then we innovate, then we navigate. We are in God's mighty hands if you let yourself to be used by God. Lastly, I remember the word that Carl Henry, one of my favorite, one of the most important evangelical scholars back in the 20th century, Carl Henry, he once said, the gospel is not really gospel unless it's delivered timely to the people. The gospel is not really gospel unless it's delivered in a timely manner to the people who needs it. There's no more hesitation now. Let us do it. Let us do it all together. Generations, let us join hands together, and may God continue to guide and help each one of us. Holy Canada is setting up directions for the Canadian Chinese churches. We're going full cross-cultural missions now. God has given us a lot of great directions. Because for some reason, we all learn English. You can do cross-cultural missions using English. Even the first generations like myself and second gen over here. We are doing missions in Mongolia. I just came back from an English camp over there. We are doing missions in East Europe to the Romas, the Gypsies. We also have English camp there. We use English to train their pastors as well, biblically speaking, and to empower them so that they have the word, the knowledge of God to do the proper job. And we are going to Cuba in January. You want to join us? Missions to Cuba, talk to me. All these are cross-cultural initiatives. May God help us. Let us all pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. This pivoting moment in Peter's life is also applicable in each one of our life. May us May our church see the needs of this world and then respond properly, timely, to take your gospel to the ends of the earth. May you use us. May you use BCBC. May you use all the Chinese churches in Canada to fulfill your great commission. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.